The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy hump day to us all. Crudy out on the road. He'll be hooking up with us shortly. He was in Eau Claire, is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as we speak. Vice President Kamala Harris, her newly announced running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, out on the stump doing the speechifying, getting the crowd revved up, man. I saw some lines on social media, and you know how that works, but it looked like it was a ruckus crowd, a big crowd in Wisconsin today. We're going to bring you some of that sound, certainly from Tim Walz, with Kamala Harris. It is an exciting day here in the great state of Wisconsin. And we are excited. We have a huge show for you today. Marquette University Law School polling. That dropped today. Pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin, he's going to join us at 3:30, go behind the numbers, get to the details of what he is seeing in the state of Wisconsin, his most recent poll. That will be at 3:30. And in the next hour, 4:30, Democrat Rebecca Cook, a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district, she is going to join us. It's getting a little chippy out there in the 3rd CD primary. Her and Katrina Shanklin, their campaigns going back and forth. We'll get the inside scoop from Rebecca. We have invited, to my understanding, Katrina on again as well. There's been an invitation for her in the past. And they're the winner of that primary. There's a third, but, you know, not really doing much. And the winner of that primary, of course, will take on day drinker Derek Van Norden, a legend. We'll see what happens. You know, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. You know what I'm saying, Derek? So we will get to Rebecca Cook at 4:30. So some of the coverage today, the vice president just wrapped up her speech, hitting on a lot of the familiar themes that we've heard over the last couple of speeches. And you know, the comparison between her as a prosecutor in her career and how it juxtaposes to Donald Trump and his grifting and carnival barking. And let's just put it out there, fraudulent activity, sexual abuse activity. She's hitting on these same things again. You know, when I was attorney general in California, we went after sexual abusers. Donald Trump is a sex abuser. We went after fraudsters. Donald Trump is the fraudster. We went after people who broke the rules to their own benefit. Donald Trump does that as well. So some of the familiar themes, love to hear it. I think she's going to keep on ringing that bell because, you know what? It's just like the weird thing. It's true. It's true. And it resonates and it sticks with me, probably you, for one very important reason, because it's true. As she concluded her speech, I did see most of it today. Do we want to have a country of freedom, of compassion, a country with the rule of law, or do we want to go back to the chaos, the fear, and the hate? Another theme, power is with the people. Repeated that over and over again. It was an exciting speech. You can tell the crowd, man, they are fired up. We do have some of the sound, I believe, if you're ready, Mr. Rich from the governor of the great state of Minnesota. And I know the Kamala Harris sound will be coming as well. But let's start out with Tim, Coach Tim, introducing Kamala Harris, being on the side of the American people, if you would please, Rich.
She took on predators, fraudsters, transnational gang members. She stood up against powerful corporate interests, and she never hesitated, not once, to reach across the aisle if it improved people's lives.
Coach, bringing it home, introducing the vice president. Let's keep going. Now he refers to Donald Trump, of course, mocking the laws.
He mocks our laws. He sows chaos and division amongst the people. And that's to say nothing of the job he did as president.
Wasn't much of a job there. I know there's some of the MAGA out there want to rewrite the history. We're living in a different reality. But to my impression, wasn't too great. Donald Trump came in, had lots of tailwind from the previous Obama administration. And then, you know, the tax cuts. That's right. The tax cuts for the rich added trillions of dollars to the debt. And of course, his mismanagement of COVID. But, you know, I digress. Let's hear more of what Governor Tim Walz has to say. I love the story, as we talked about it yesterday, the reporting that when Walz and some of the students tried to get to like a Bush rally and they were not allowed in because it was discovered that they were what? They were Democrats. He talks about his students encouraging him to run. Let's play that one, Rich.
I never thought that much about it, but they saw in me what I was hoping to instill in them. This idea of a commitment to a better world, a common good, a belief that one single person can actually make a difference.
And contrast that with what I heard Donald Trump say in person at the 2016 RNC in Cleveland, the American dream is dead. Or was that his inauguration? It's so hard to tell. It's so depressing and so fearful and so hateful. There's no hope or optimism at all. And what I've really noticed when this change was made on the Democratic side and President Joe Biden bowed out selflessly, knowing what was at stake. And you see the reaction, the volunteer, you know, thousands of volunteers, millions of dollars raised, and the juice that just keeps coming out of this Democratic Party right now. It is super exciting. And I didn't realize until over the last, you know, maybe a couple of weeks since this happened, how much that was missing. How much that was missing. You know, you don't, what does Donald Trump say? Oh, we're a failed nation. You know, we suck. Well, what kind of motivation is that? Hey, everybody, the world sucks. You suck. I suck. We all suck. And I want to be the biggest sucker of us all. You know, it's just terrible. There's no inspiration coming whatsoever from the Republican side, from the MAGA side. It is literally the chaos, fear, and hate that the Vice President Kamala Harris references often. She will continue to do that. A couple more from her sidecar, Governor Tim Walz from Minnesota. He knows it. I know it. You know it. Trump sees the world a little differently.
Donald Trump, he sees the world differently than we see it. He has no understanding of service because he's too busy servicing himself.
I mean, they'd be taking a whole bunch of ways. I wonder how many couch jokes are going to be coming up. Of course, yesterday, you got to appreciate the Walz saying he can't wait to debate J.D. Vance, if that's your real name, if he ever gets off the couch. You gotta at least appreciate the minor digs. And if you know, you know. If you didn't know, now you know. I think we have one more from Governor Tim Walz. Let's play it.
It turns out that freedom to them means government should be free to invade your exam room with your doctor.
Yeah, different definitions. And we do have some. Okay, let's do it. Vice President Kamala Harris speaking today in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to a huge outdoor crowd. Let's hear what the vice president has to say. Apparently, she thinks we're going to win.
Listen, let me tell you, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And with your help, we will win in November. We are going to win. We are going to win.
We are going to win. Another the common theme coming from the vice president, when we fight, we win. I really appreciate the effort, the message, the inspiration that she is giving to the folks, and they are eating it up. We heard Walz talk about it. Here is Kamala talking about taking on the big corporations.
You know, when I was attorney general, I went after price-fixing schemes. And when I am president, it will be a day one priority to fight to bring down prices. I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging.
And I would mention as well today, she brought up inflation and said, hey, you know, it's you can't deny it. You go to the grocery store, you see it. It's not acceptable. It's going to work to bring that down. And we've talked about a lot on this show about the greedflation. You know, there's a reason why a lot of these corporations are having record profits, because, you know, when there's an opportunity in the market to stick it to your customers and, you know, squeeze a few more out of their pockets. So, I mean, if that's what you, if that's how you capitalism is, and it's all about the profitability and maximizing shareholder profit and wealth, oh, then that's a good thing, I guess. But what happens? Well, of course, when they do that, then prices go up and we end up paying more. And you get people on the right saying, oh my God, look at what's happening. It's all Joe and Kamala's fault. When in reality, there is a reason why the market's where it's at, because they have been gouging. Many of these companies have been gouging the consumers. I believe we have one more from the vice president in Eau Claire, Wisconsin today. What kind of country do we want? Let's play that one.
Do we want to live in a country of freedom, of compassion, of rule of law, or a country of chaos, fear, and hate?
Chaos, fear, and hate. And I think we have all had a little too much of that. We are joyful warriors. Another theme that I really embrace. The joy certainly has been lacking, it seems. And it's not like we don't try to bring it on the show, man. You know, we want to have a good time. We talk about sometimes serious, sometimes not so serious issues. You know, politics are what they are. Self-governance is a bitch. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy. And for it to continue to stay on top of your game, you know what we need? We need some freaking joy. We need some of that. And I feel like we're just getting a little bit of it. You can't rely on other people to provide all of your joy. A lot of that comes from within. But when you are inspired, when you hear, you know, the words that make sense to you, when something resonates with you as it does with me, with Walls and Harrison, having something to push back on this mega insanity, this chaos, the fear and the hate and the bad jokes. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Crudy will be joining us shortly. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. Don't forget Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Happy hump day to us all.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Wednesday to us all. Big day here in the swing state of Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and her VP pick, Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, having a huge rally outside of Eau Claire, or in Eau Claire, I guess. I did see in the reporting about 12,000 people attended this rally, according to her campaign, and what was given to over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Some of that reporting, Harris and Walls holding the rally. We knew that. Vance also, J.D. Vance, remember the trolling tour of J.D. Vance, the beard ambition tour, the guyliners are us tour, call it what you want. Well, he's out there. Bird dogging, question mark, trolling, I don't know, following around like a lost little puppy, the Vice President Harris. Apparently, J.D. Vance was delivering remarks today at Woolard International, an aviation ground equipment manufacturer. I don't know if we have any sound of that, but, you know, we do. We have a little bit. Just give us a moment, folks. We'll get some of that J.D. sound whenever you're ready for that. Rich, just give me the thumbs up. I did also hear Vance talking today, trying to compliment, my understanding, his boss, of course, Mr. Trump, saying that Trump's got a great sense of humor. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Trump laugh. He's pretty rude. And then Vance goes on to say, I'm going to paraphrase, there's something like, well, he makes fun of people. He makes fun of everybody. He makes fun of people. So that means he's got a great sense of humor, question mark. We do have a few from the wannabe mega vice president. Let's hear it. Hear what he has to say, please, Rich.
Look, I think the president, obviously, he loves to give people nicknames, and I think that he's going to keep on doing that. I would be shocked if it's the last nickname he gives her before the end of the election.
Oh, the nickname. The purposeful misspelling of Kamala Harris's name, according to J.D. Vance, if that's your real name, it's just a nickname. It's a nickname. It's disrespectful. Of course it is. Of course. It's purposefully. That is the reason. Of course he's disrespectful. I mean, come on, man. The guy was found liable, adjudicated for rape. So, yeah, that's a little disrespectful. We shouldn't be surprised that Donald Trump is purposefully misspelling Harris's name, purposefully mispronouncing Harris's name. That's what he does. We do have some more from Vance. I believe this was at the Willard International today. 844-967-2789. J.D. Vance, the Republican senator from Ohio. Rich, whenever you are ready, let's hear more on the... No, we're not ready for that yet? Okay. Well, lots going on. Lots going on here. Crew's going to join us as well shortly. 844-967-2789. Oh, Crudy's on the phone? Oh, come on, man. Let's hear what Crudy has to say. Michael, welcome to the greatest radio show ever, The Devil's Advocates. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing excellent. I'm here in downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin, across the street from a little pit stop by the vice president and her new running mate, Tim Walz. They are at, let me make sure I get this right, the local store on the corner of Dewey and Galloway Street, right across from the Oxbow Hotel. Walz walked in with the lead singer, Bon Iver. And it was a hell of a show, man. About 15,000, the estimate at the rally. Probably the largest rally I've seen this year with a Democrat. And it was a hell of a party, man.
The reporting from the Journal Sentinel saying 12,000. I saw some of the crowd on the social media crew. It looked bigger than that
behind the scoreboard.
Wow, man. And the lines. Yeah, how was it getting in and out? There were lines. There were crowds. There were lines of cars, lines of people. How was it getting in and out of there today?
Well, I can tell you there's been some rain in the area because there's a lot of people playing the mutter game outside the Country Jam Fest grounds. I actually gave a little push. I was shoving a car, me and like five others, and I'm thinking, man, if six of us can't push you out, lady, you need a tow truck. But there are some cars in up to their wheel wells. There's some wetness out there in the fields. A lot of people parking in the fields. There were cars as far as the eyes could see. But Dom, it was a hell of a turnout. And when Tim Walz took the stage, he did a shout out for Minnesota. And I can tell you, Minnesota represented today. There were all kinds of Minnesotans in Eau Claire. And he said, isn't it nice when a candidate knows how to say the name of your city? And it was.
J.D. Vance also in Eau Claire today, Crudy. We do have some sound. We'll get back to that. What was your biggest takeaway from there? We heard I heard some of the speech today, a lot of the familiar themes being the former prosecutor, of course, Donald Trump being the fraudster, those kinds of things. Of course, the abortion issue and the chaos, fear, and hate versus freedom, compassion, rule of law. Continuing themes here. What was your biggest takeaway? What do you think the crowd responded to the most?
Well, the only thing I would say that was a little disappointing is Tim Walz didn't roll out the J.D. Vance get off the couch joke again today. He left that one in the quiver. Perhaps he'll roll it out again tonight in Detroit. But I would say he came to the stage first, and I would say that wasn't the same, you know, staging, if you will, yesterday on the rollout. And I thought his speech was more dynamic yesterday. I think today it kind of felt like he was playing some of the greatest hits in regards to Tim Walz. And I thought Kamala was excellent today. She gave a longer speech in Eau Claire today than she had done yesterday. Obviously, she rolled out her running mate. So today, it was Tim Walz basking, and then he brought Kamala to the stage, man, and it was a rock show.
We are joyful warriors. I love the terminology. I love the inspiration that brings. Crudy, we do have a guest coming up. Hopefully you will be able to join us. Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School pollster extraordinaire. They dropped that poll today. We're going to get behind the numbers with Charles. We'll give you a little hint. Tammy Baldwin, well, you know, she's up. She's up just a teeny bit more than she was last time. And the Harris-Trump polling, well, it's better than it was under Biden, but you're going to have to stick around for more of that. More of Crudy, more of Dom, more of Rich, more of the Devil's Advocates with Charles Franklin Marquette University Law School polling coming up next. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Charles Franklin, you can find him on Twitter at Polls and Votes. He is the pollster for the Marquette University polling outfit. Charles, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Good to be here.
Good to have you, my friend. Crudy will join us as he can. Polling dropped today. Interesting numbers. Before we get into some of the details, time's flying by, Charles. So when was the poll taken?
It was July 24th to August 1st. So that was beginning the Wednesday after Biden dropped out and finishing last Friday. Almost everything was finished by Thursday. And so that was all before Tim Walz was selected, too.
Okay, so we know the time frame. So let's talk about how is Kamala Harris doing against Donald Trump, and how is those numbers, how do they compare to Joe Biden and Trump, Charles?
It's a very tight race again. With registered voters, Trump is up by 50 to 49, but with likely voters, Harris is up by 50 to 49. When we include the third party candidates, Harris's lead is 2 points. So no matter how you slice it, it's back to a close race. I say back to because in June, it was 50-50 or 51-49 for Biden. That was released the day before the debate.
Okay.
But in this poll, we ask if Biden had stayed in, would you vote for Biden or vote for Trump? Trump had a 5-point lead over Biden in that hypothetical question. If you look at polling not done by us, but the polling averages in the state from between the debate till the day that he dropped out, Trump had opened up about a 3, maybe 3.5-point lead in the state. So our 5-point Trump lead is sort of compatible with that, maybe a shade higher. Harris has restored the very competitive race, I think, is the way to think about it.
So she brought it back to where it was prior to the debate performance of President Joe Biden. Margin of error, Charles, what are we looking at for this particular sample?
Plus or minus 4.6 for registered voters, plus or minus 4.8 with likely voters.
So all these numbers within the margin of error.
Wisconsin should just not be called a swing state, but an inside the margin of error state, because I'm doubtful that we'll ever see a 5-point lead this year.
Yeah, right. What about enthusiasm? We've talked about this before. I've knocked it, but I felt it now on this side. I mean, you see that rally today. There's lots of enthusiastic people rolling out Tim Walz yesterday. What are you finding on the enthusiasm scale? Again, prior to Walz's rollout.
That is the thing that has really surged, especially among Democrats. We had been running all year about 20 points less enthusiastic than at the same times in 2020. And that enthusiasm gap was greatly because of Democrats not being enthusiastic. We still had a close race because they said they'd vote for Biden, but they just weren't enthusiastic about it. This month, we've seen a big jump in Democratic enthusiasm, up about 20 points, now almost matching Republican levels of enthusiasm. That's just something that I don't think we would have even seen if Biden had not had a disastrous debate performance, because he wasn't firing up the crowd. Now, with this switch to Harris, we're seeing Democrats really pumped up about it. Sustaining that for the next 90 days until Election Day, that's the challenge for the campaigns. But certainly Harris begins running on a rough par with Republican enthusiasm instead of finding very reluctant Democrats out there, and also not having as many volunteers. Once she came into the race, volunteering for the campaign has shot up as well.
Yeah, huge numbers. Well, what did Walls say? 90 days, Charles Franklin, we can sleep when we're dead. You also polled on J.D. Vance. Before I let Crudy jump in and get a crack at you, Charles, what did you find out about what people are thinking about J.D. Vance as Trump's vice presidential nominee?
Yeah, there are a couple of things to say. First, still a lot of people don't have an opinion of him. They haven't gotten to know him. About 25% say they don't know enough. His net favorability is the same as Trump's, 10 points more unfavorable than favorable. So he's underwater, but he's actually not less net favorable than Trump. It's just that a lot more people don't know him compared to Trump. When we asked, how would you rate his selection as the vice presidential nominee, among Republicans, about 75% call it either excellent or a good choice. But the remaining 25% say fair or poor, or they don't know. So the party, as far as that goes, is pretty positive towards him. For comparison, the people satisfied with Harris as the Democratic nominee, that's 92%. So there, the Democratic Party's really rallied around her. But Republicans are pretty positive about Vance. It's the independents and the Democrats who are fairly negative about him still.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Charles Franklin, pollster from Marquette University Law School Polling. Find him on Twitter at Polls and Votes. Crudy, I'll let you get a crack in here, brother. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Charles, how you doing? I just got to see not only Kamala Harris, but also her new vice presidential pick in Eau Claire. And then they showed up right across the street, and I'm pretty sure they're jamming cell signals. So I'm doing the best I can here, Charles, but let me tell you, the enthusiasm, I heard you and Dom talking about it, the enthusiasm is really picked up amongst the Democratic side. And we've now had this vice president, Kamala Harris, not only launch her campaign in West Allis, but effectively, launch her VP, or at least bring her VP around on the very second day. The polling, obviously tight, Charles. But the race is all about the state of Wisconsin and this blue wall. How much do you think Tim Walz and the polling factored into the vice presidential choice?
Yeah, I think the main thing you've got to appreciate with Walz, as with most of the others, is they're not at all well known nationally. In the little bit of polling that we have on Walz, over 60% or more say they don't know enough about him to have an opinion. It's fairly favorable, certainly among Democrats. But this is really the case of this tour that he's on with Harris is a chance to introduce himself to a solid majority of the public that doesn't know anything at all about him. We haven't polled about him in Wisconsin, but I expect we'd see the same thing. The one exception is over to Eau Claire and St. Croix County and up north. You do have Minnesota TV markets that come into Western Wisconsin. So he may be better known in St. Croix County or Hudson and up in the Duluth Superior TV market.
Well, Charles, of the 15,000 approximately that I'm estimating were at the rally in Eau Claire today, when Walz took the stage, he did a shout out to Minnesota. And the number of hands that went up was amazing. It was an amazing turnout for the state of Minnesota and the state of Wisconsin. But Charles, let me ask you, we're about to turn to the DNC. And typically there is a convention bump, be it for the RNC or the DNC. Charles, what sort of a bump might we expect still? Do the Democrats have more enthusiasm to pile on with their convention here?
Yeah, I think they build on the momentum that they have so far. I think this tour right now is one introduction of Walz, but it's also more of an introduction to Harris, too, staking out what her stump speech is like, what the issues are that she really wants to emphasize. And that then rolls into the convention, which is a week of hugs and kisses. We saw that with the Republican convention, everybody thinking Trump had it in the bag and praising him at that convention. The DNC will be similar for Harris and a great chance for Walz to introduce himself to a more national audience on television. So I think we're looking at the next 2 weeks, unless something goes off the rails, which has been known to happen. It should be a real good time for the Harris campaign to ramp those things up.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates, Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School polling. All right, Charles, let's get back into the state of Wisconsin. We have a senatorial race, Eric Hovde versus Senator Tammy Baldwin. You've been asking the questions. What did you find out?
Yeah, Baldwin maintains a significant lead there. With registered voters, it's a 7-point lead, 53 to 46. Likely voters, it's a 5-point lead. And we do have two independent candidates on the ballot. They each get 2%, and Baldwin leads that one 50 to 44. So solid leads, not gigantic leads, not the 12 points that she won by or 11 points in 2018, but still a solid lead. The other thing we see is that Hovde is getting better known. The percent that don't know enough to have an opinion has gone down from 85% a year ago to just 36%, 34% now. But the bad news for him is his unfavorables have gone up more over the last three polls than his favorables have gone up. So his net favorability has gotten a little bit worse as more people have gotten to know him. It is true that the Senate campaign has certainly been, overrun by the presidential events of the last month or month and a half. So I expect the Senate campaign to ramp up after the primary and after the DNC.
And how about Senator Baldwin's favorability, Charles?
She's dead even, 44 favorable, 44 unfavorable. What we've seen over the year for her is she's gone from a little more unfavorable to a little more favorable to closer to dead even, and this time dead even. Not much of a trend for her, though.
Charles, the issues. I know we've been talking a lot about abortion in this day of Dobbs. I know you polled on that as far as and other issues as well. What are the people thinking about? What's on top of their mind?
Yeah, when we ask, what's the most important issue for you, the economy still dominates as by far the most commonly mentioned thing. But this time, for the first time, abortion is in the second spot of most important, very closely by just a point followed by immigration. Democrats have said abortion was their most important problem all year long. But independents, even though 2/3 of independents are in favor of abortion rights, independents rank the abortion issue quite low in the hierarchy of issues. So one of the questions about the new Harris campaign and her greater emphasis on the issue is not that she needs to win over independents on the abortion question. They're already largely with her on abortion rights, but they're simply not saying it's very important to them. So we'll see if the campaign makes any difference on that case.
Charles, we have less than 2 minutes left. Talking about the economy, you also broke it down from the national economy to the family financial situation. I thought that was interesting. What did you find out?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a growth in the percent who say the economy is doing poorly. It's not much. It's 2 to 4 points more saying it's poor than were saying that a few months ago. But on how's your family financial situation, the percent saying they're living comfortably has come down 2 or 3 points. The percent struggling, maybe up one, and just getting by has gone up a bit. That is noticeably worse than it was prior to the pandemic, when it was up in the mid to upper 50s saying they were living comfortably. Now it's struggling to get to 40% living comfortably.
Charles Franklin, thank you very much. Pollster extraordinaire, the Marquette University Law School polls. Crudy, you got one? Crudy's got one. Let me get in.
Well, I just want to remind people, we got national polling coming from Charles tomorrow. So we booked him again in the happy hour tomorrow afternoon. We'll have all the national polling from Marquette University and our pal Charles.
2 days
looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk
real
soon. Take
care.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, going to come back with some of your phone calls, your observations as well. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your calls, welcome here, 844-967-2789. I want to thank Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School polling. Dropped the Wisconsin polling today, national data, national polling coming out tomorrow. He will come back on the Devil's Advocates tomorrow to discuss that polling as well. And we got Crudy on the line in Eau Claire. Crudy, welcome back to the show, man.
Well, thanks, dude. I'm staring at the local store. Quite a scene here in downtown Eau Claire as the presidential campaign took a little detour and stopped right here on our corner and had some surly Secret Service guys telling me to move along. I'm like, I belong here. This is my hotel. I got a room. So anyways, I was staking it out from the sidewalk outside, but they effectively shut down all the roads in downtown Eau Claire. And as I was leaving this rally, Dom, and again, a well-attended rally, about 15,000, I would estimate, and cars as far as the eye could see, as I'm driving through downtown Eau Claire, I'm like, why aren't the cops leaving? There are so many damn police officers. State Patrol, everywhere, every block is still blocked off. What is going on? Well, little did I know, Dom, they had a little detour planned, and they were heading down to the Art Apparel Books and Things store, the local store right here in downtown Eau Claire. And the lead singer for Bon Iver, he also came down with Tim Walz and Bon Iver. My bad. I heard him sing today. First time I ever was at a Bon Iver concert was earlier today. Yeah. Dom, he's got a hell of a voice, sort of high register. I can't sing like that, but he was here, and lots of press came pouring out of the motorcade, and they weren't in there for more than 5 or 10 minutes. But Wall spent a lot of time on the sidewalk waving at people, and Kamala Harris, they moved the vice president with alacrity in and out of the car. They kept her moving, man. You know, trying to keep her safe and all that sort of stuff.
Lots of excitement. We talked to Charles Franklin about the enthusiasm. I mean, that has skyrocketed under this new candidacy of the vice president. The survey conducted from what, July 24th to August 1st. So right after Joe Biden dropped out of the race, but obviously before we found out who the sidecar, who the vice presidential pick would be, now Governor Tim Walz. Any takeaway, Crudy? You can affirm the enthusiasm. What do you think is going to happen when he comes around and finally does another poll? Now we have two vice presidential candidates and two presidential candidates to go side by side on. What's your expectation?
I'm not sure if Tim Walz will move the polling significantly. You know, as Charles mentioned, in some of the out markets in this part of the state, and I'm here in western Wisconsin, I'm in Eau Claire, but the Minneapolis media market effectively, I mean, two or three of the stations we play out on in Amory, Wisconsin, Baldwin, Wisconsin, all the way up to Hayward, Wisconsin. Many of those are considered Minneapolis out markets. So that means when they turn on the evening news, they're getting the Vikings score and they're getting news from across the river in Minnesota. So it's probably logical to assume that there is awareness of Tim Walz. There was more than a rooting interest at that rally for Tim Walz today. A lot of Minnesotans crossed the river to come see him. But what I would say is, you know, I think we all like to cheer for the local boy. You know, he is, and they're not calling it, they're basically saying, you know, the candidacy, the victory, the presidency, all of a sudden it goes through the Midwest. And at prior rallies, everyone's talked about, oh, it goes through Wisconsin, it goes through Michigan, it goes through Pennsylvania. Well, you know, Minnesota is a pretty safe state. But when you want to glom them all in sort of Big Ten style, it's the presidency goes through the Midwest because really it's about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan and Minnesota. Trump would like to think they're in play, but they're not in play.
Well, it's not just the presidency, of course. They're trying to hold on to the Senate. Tammy Baldwin, leading Hovde, according to Marquette, among likely voters, 52-47. Now, that's slightly outside of the margin of error, but I love the favorability, man. The more you get to know Eric Hovde, the more you don't like him. As people got to know Hovde, according to the polling, more of them went over to the unlikable side, the unfavorability side, than favorability. I'm not sure he can make that up on volume.
Well, and in some way, it is also the Baldwin campaign that's helping shape the image of Hovde. That and this guy's really not a very good candidate. I mean, did you see him at the Slinger Speedway try to do the Pledge of Allegiance, do a little speechifying? I mean, this guy leaves you wanting. And he is, of course, Trump endorsed at this late hour. But as you pointed out more than once, Tom, when the guy rolled out his campaign video, didn't bother to mention the fact he's running from the state of Wisconsin. Something of a political faux pas, if you will, Dom.
Perhaps a faux pas, or he just doesn't give a damn. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got Crudy on the horn. He's going to stick with us into the happy hour. We got Rich working the board. We do have some sound of Kamala Harris. I believe we'll have some sound of her today as well. Perhaps some additional sound of her vice presidential pick, governor from Minnesota, Tim Walz. Of course, your take, your thoughts on what's going on in Wisconsin, man. Everything, it comes up Wisconsin, is rolling through Wisconsin. The presidential roll through Wisconsin. Hell, the Senate. Got to hold on to the Senate. You need Tammy Baldwin in there for a third term. There is a lot going on. And make sure you stick around in the 4 o'clock, 4:30. Rebecca Cook, she is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. The campaign, her campaign, the Katrina Shanklin campaign, it's getting a little chippy out there. We're going to get inside with her, talk about that campaign and the 3rd CD. Regardless of who comes out of there, Derek Van Norden's got to hit the road, folks. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're not hitting the road. We're coming right back. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. I hit the road today.